Welcome to the College Baseball Nation podcast. My name is John Peters, and I'm here with Kyle McKelvey. This week on the podcast, we are picking our eight for Omaha. We are picking this weekend's games, and we are visited by Long Beach State head coach Eric Valenzuela. Let's talk college baseball. Kyle, opening weekend. This weekend, it's here.
It's here.
It is finally here. Yeah, I don't know. It feels a little surreal. Anytime, I think Valentine's Day is always that trigger point for me. It's like, all right, once Valentine's Day happens, it's like college baseball is either just about to happen or it's just right around the corner. And so here we are now, just a couple days away from opening day.
Yeah, I had to get my Wi-Fi set up in time at my new house because we're moving this weekend so that I could watch all these games. And like, I'm going to have to set aside some time for moving so that I could watch these games. And I told the movers and I told my family this. They're going to have to understand.
Yeah, make sure you get that upgraded Wi-Fi so you can be streaming four games at the same time.
Oh, I did. Absolutely.
Yeah. I am likewise. Fortunately, I have a short day on Friday. Pretty amazing. I have a half day. So that like perfectly sets up a weekend of college baseball watching. And a whole lot of good games that we're going to get to in just a little bit. But like we do every season before the season actually gets going, first we got to pick our Omaha eight. So Kyle, did you do your homework?
I did my homework, yes.
All right. So we also released a Field of 64 since the last time we recorded a podcast. So go check out the Field of 64 on our website, collegebaseball.info, especially because Kyle, you used our Field of 64 to pick your eight for Omaha. Is that right?
I did. Yeah. It makes it a little bit easier for my scattered brain to pick from something that's organized, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know, it helps a little bit.
It narrows down the choices from several hundred to just 64.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. And like, we already did the homework a little bit, set up the Field of 64, and we feel pretty good about these teams. So I don't know. It just made it a little bit easier for me. And I noticed that you did it a little bit differently. You just kind of picked teams that you like, which may give you an advantage for being right later on, but who knows?
Yeah. Based off our Field of 64, some of mine are logically impossible, but I'm okay with that because
who cares?
Our Field of 64 will change certainly by the end of the season.
Now, I think we predicted it perfectly based on all 64 teams and all 32 automatic bids. Everything is perfect.
Imagine like our credibility increase if we picked a perfect bracket at the beginning of the season.
That would be pretty wild.
But people might start respecting us. That could be scary.
But that would mean that there's like no change in anything, which is just like not fun about college baseball. Like that's what's the best about thing about college baseball is that every weekend there's huge upsets and it's great.
And it's like maybe Penn is going to win the Ivy League, but who knows that maybe Yale's going to do it and someone's going to randomly be watching the Ivy League championship game because that's a fun thing to do. So that's what you love about college baseball. Let's start where we have similarities because not surprisingly, we picked some of the same teams. We got a few different ones. Let's start at the top. Our number one overall seed in the Field of 64, our number one team heading into the season is Texas. We both have Texas getting to Omaha. I don't think there needs to be much discussion there. They have depth in position players. They have depth in their pitching staff. They have a couple preseason All-Americans. Yeah, they just came back from Omaha. This feels like, I mean, Texas is a team that is used to getting to Omaha, has Omaha experience, and this is the Big 12 is theirs to win. This is a no-brainer pick in the preseason. We'll see what happens in the postseason. I would say maybe likewise, Stanford feels like that sort of pick in the Pac-12. They're kind of a step ahead of the rest of the Pac-12. We both have Stanford in our Omaha 8. They got the name, the firepower of Brock Jones, but they also have a couple other exciting young guys in particular. The recruiting has been picking up lately. So Stanford feels like they should have a reasonably easy path, as easy as you can, get to Omaha, and that pretty good odds are hosting a regional and a super. Mississippi State. I don't think we're going to be shocking anybody by both of us picking Mississippi State. Though the coaches – in the SEC preseason coaches poll did not pick Mississippi State to win the conference. They actually picked Ole Miss to win the conference, but they did not pick Ole Miss to win the SEC West. How that can both be possible, I still don't quite know. I've literally gone to bed thinking about that at night, like how the coaches actually vote so that Ole Miss had more votes to win the conference than any other team, but fewer votes than...
Don't let it worry you.
What's that?
Don't let it worry you.
Yeah, these are the things that keep me up at night. What are the SEC coaches doing to me? But yeah, Mississippi State seems like another one of those as surefire as you get preseason Omaha type pick.
Yeah, I agree. And I noticed, so before we get into this next one, I noticed you kind of did set up, and maybe you did this on accident, but you kind of set up some fun matchups in our field of 64. Like our next round, the next thing that I don't know that I want to get into was the Arkansas regional, because I picked it by regionals.
Yep.
So that's, we had them as the 5 seed, mostly because we had them ranked 5th in the country, which I think we can, that's fair. And then they lined up with the 12 seed bracket, which is ECU as the 1 seed and NC State was the 2nd seed. I had NC State winning that regional. I liked their depth and their really, like a hitting deep team, and like I don't know, I liked them. They had experience from last year,
so I mean, the whole rotation is the whole rotation is top. I mean, like is worthy of any of the great teams too. So NC State has a lot of things clicking for them.
But that would mean a matchup for how I picked it, a matchup of NC State and Arkansas, who we just saw last year, which is spicy. But
I have to say, whenever I make preseason field of 64s, like when I was doing this early in the season, you know, things are going to change. So sometimes it's fun just to do fun things.
Yeah.
That one,
same I would with say, go ahead.
That one worked out a little accidentally. That one, like, you know, was kind of had more to do with where ECU was. And then I was like, okay, yeah, let's get this whole North Carolina regional. So I get NC State and Charlotte and stuff. But yeah, you might have noticed it. This might have been what you're about to say. I put NJIT back in Fayetteville. Yep. I don't think that, I don't know. They probably wouldn't actually send them back there, but I think they have a pretty good shot at winning their conference, and Arkansas fans would love that. So, you know, here's to hoping.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like all 32 of the automatic bids are really hard to pick. Why not pick the team that just won it last year? And yeah,
especially when you're picking 32, because there's actually only 31. So if you're trying to pick 32, 31, you're gonna have a real hard time of doing it.
It was 32 before, was it not?
Maybe. Well, it was 30 last year when there was no Ivy League.
That's what it was. I remember there was a change. Yeah,
I went up one. But yeah, it is hard picking the preseason champion of like the MEAC and stuff like that. Like it's hard having that depth of knowledge, but we did it in our field of 64. Hopefully NJIT wins their conference, and I think everyone would love it if they end up in Fayetteville again.
Yeah, and that leads us into, I think we both picked Arkansas for similar reasons as everyone else. They've returned a lot of people. They recruit really well and they develop really well. So I don't see any reason why Arkansas won't be back in Omaha. Won't be in Omaha. They weren't last year.
Yeah, that's true. Not back in Omaha in the big picture scheme, not in the year-to-year scheme. They lost Paulette, and that obviously was a ding to their starting lineup. Apparently in fall ball, Hagen Smith, a freshman for the Razorbacks, had a pretty nice fall. So maybe there's a chance that he ends up in the starting rotation, and we just put him on our preseason freshman All-Americans. So that's the type of guy that you don't mind maybe having in a Sunday role, a little bit younger guy, maybe not as experienced, but super high-end talent. All right, we had one more in the same, right? We had Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah.
We both picked Ole Miss. And if you haven't seen it already, we have a great feature on Tim Elko. We got him interviewed and got an article up on Tim Elko. Pretty good stuff. I recommend checking it out. Like I said, Ole Miss was picked to win the SEC by the coaches. So that rounds out the 5 teams we have the same. So let's start with you, Vanderbilt. Tell me why I'm wrong. Why should I put Vanderbilt in my field of 64?
You mean why should you have?
Oh yeah, in my Omaha 8, they're in the field of 64. Yeah.
Why should you have put the returning national runner-up in your Omaha 8? I don't know. Let's let the results speak for themselves.
This one was a little bit of a gut feeling in the last moment. So I've talked a lot about how the pitching staff at Vanderbilt's a little bit young, but has a lot of potential. And I was sitting here thinking, and I was like, you know, how often do you hear the story of the freshman pitcher or the sophomore pitcher who has like 12 weeks of A-plus stuff and then just runs out of gas at the end of the season? And I started thinking about this Vanderbilt pitching staff and how they just don't have quite the same number of innings under their belt as some of the other premier pitching staffs in the country. So I started to convince myself, you know what, they might end up being a top 8 seed, but they might run out of gas by the end of the year. And now Tim Corbin's no fool, and he knows this, and you even saw him do this with Leiter and Rocker last year in terms of toning down the innings. I mean, pulled Jack Leiter out of a no-hitter. Corbin knows what to do when it comes to making sure these guys are managed. But like I said, a little bit of a gut pick. I can imagine a world where Vandy runs out of steam and runs into a tough super regional opponent.
Yeah, I'm mostly just messing with you, but they, I mean, losing Rocker and Leiter is definitely it could be a cause for concern if you, as a Vandy fan or just an FCC fan, don't trust the depth that they've developed behind them. But yeah, I trust what they've done, and I think like Christian Little is that, that's his last name, right? Christian Little, right? I guess that's his first name. Yeah. I think he's going to develop into maybe a star. I think he could be one of the star pitchers in the SEC in years to come. I think he's just a sophomore, and he probably has an extra year of eligibility because of COVID last year. So
yeah, and Carter Young at shortstop is probably a first round pick. So I mean, Vanderbilt has pieces for sure. I mean, they're not going to be bad.
yeah, I do. I understand your hesitation, I guess, but yeah, it was just based on I did mine on the field of 64, so I had to pick them over Oklahoma, Central Michigan, Norfolk State in their regional, and then paired it up with the Oregon, UC Irvine, Gonzaga, and San Diego State. I wanted to pick UC Irvine in that, like over Vanderbilt in that, but I just couldn't do it. Experience means a lot to me, so I had to go with Vandy.
Yeah, that's reasonable. Let's go to a team that I put in that you didn't have in. I had in Florida State, and I think that at least in part the reason I had Florida State in was kind of the same reason that I managed to keep Vanderbilt out, is that I'm a big fan of Florida State's pitching staff and the depth that pitching staff brings. They should be one of the most consistent pitching staffs in the country. And you have Bryce Hubbard, Parker Messick, a couple guys there that I think should really be able to eat up a bunch of innings and have a chance to do that whole, like, if you have to get into a regional and get an elimination game and get a guy that can throw a couple extra innings for you in a random like situation, like Florida State's going to be the team that's going to be able to do that. So I like them. And same time though, they're high in enough arms that they set up for a 2 out of 3 series pretty well too.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, because we picked differently, I like Florida State also. I think recent Omaha experience does a lot for me. So I picked Arizona in that regional over Florida State. I could easily see Florida State winning that one. I could easily see Florida State even being seeded higher because, and this is just based on like over the year experience. I mean, Florida State has a really deep pitching staff, which does help make deep runs in Omaha to Omaha and in Omaha. So I liked Arizona's bats they've got lined up. They have pretty consistent bats, and they have a really good catcher in I think his name is Susak. Yeah, Daniel Susak.
And Arizona is just like one of those teams that honestly I have no idea how they're going to be this year. I mean, they still have a decent amount of talent. Some of it was gutted by the departure of Jay Johnson, but Chip Hale is a guy who knows baseball. I mean, he's been in baseball for like 4 decades or 5 decades, or I don't know. Like he's a staple of baseball. So like, yeah, that wouldn't shock me to see Arizona and Omaha. All right. So I also put in Oklahoma State. I would say reason number one I picked Oklahoma State is I think that they have a very good odds of finishing second in the Big 12. And if you finish second in the Big 12, you probably are going to be a top 16 seed, maybe a little bit higher. So I start to like the potential path forward that they have in terms of hosting both a regional and a super regional. I also like the fact that they have a couple of interesting transfers. They have Victor Medeiros coming over from Miami, who I think is going to be an interesting pitcher for them. I'm also intrigued. So for the first time in my memory, we're getting betting lines from a lot of the major books in terms of preseason odds. And Oklahoma State keeps getting put really high up there. We mentioned it on the podcast last week, and I've seen a few more lines that have them as like top five favorite. So anytime I see something that I don't understand that Vegas does, I just assume that they know something that I don't know. So that's
a good assumption.
Influence that decision.
Yeah. I mean, that is one of the reasons that I like heavily considered them, but I picked Ole Miss over them because, I mean, the coaches also know what they're talking about. Coaches picked Ole Miss to win the SEC. Winning the SEC is statistically harder than getting to Omaha. So, I don't know. I also liked Oklahoma State. It was hard to pick against them.
And then the last team that I had in is a team that I feel like I have championed throughout the entire offseason. And people question why we have them ranked so high, and their questions make me feel more convicted about it all. And that is Louisiana Tech.
Hatred fuels you.
Yeah, Louisiana Tech is returning almost all of their innings pitched from a year ago from a team that pitched pretty darn well. They're losing some offensive production, so it's you can't ignore that. But last year, it was a small miracle that they hosted their first ever regional. This year, it's going to be a small miracle when they go to Omaha. But it's going to be a beautiful thing.
Hey, you got to stick with your convictions, right?
Yeah, a man is nothing if he is not true to his convictions.
Yeah, we got a lot of comments on that on Instagram, like La Tech, what? But I support you in these decisions.
All right, and then the last team we had is a Georgia Tech. I think that was your last pick for Omaha, right?
Yeah, and I like what they bring back. I mean, it's hard early on in the season to pick anything against that, but I like the fact that they have a chance, like kind of like you said about Oklahoma State, could be second in the ACC. They also lined up pretty well in their spot in the bracket. They had Oregon State, Maryland, and Southeast Missouri in their region. And wait, yes, I'm looking at the right one. Yeah. And I like the fact that they could either go to LSU or UCLA based on what we picked. I liked their hitting against both of those pitching staffs. UCLA has a really good chance to be a really, really good team, best in the Pac-12, but they also could be a two or a three seed caliber team just based on their talent. Like they have a high
floor. Half of our preseason freshman All-American teams are UCLA players. Like, I don't know, it's wild.
I think that gives them a really high floor.
Yeah.
I don't know about their ceiling. So, yeah. I like Georgia Tech and how they line up. So here you go.
I'll buy it. That doesn't seem like a wild pick for me. So our Omaha 8 will be up and published on our website soon. But let's take a turn from the big picture to this weekend, because this weekend there are a whole lot of exciting series, and we have to restart our annual Kyle versus John Pick'em. And we're making a slight change to it. Last year, I think, was a little bit muddy in terms of how exactly we went about the process. So this
making
year,
up the rules as we go.
Yeah, we're making up the rules as we go. And this year, we're doing each of us will pick four series. Each of us will give those four picks a rating, and those ratings will correspond with confidence points. So the teams that we feel most confident about winning their series will rank highly. The ones that we feel a little bit questioned about will rank lowly. The number one spot is worth 4 points, then 3, 2, 1. So that adds up to a maximum total of 10 points per week. And we'll see how this goes. Kyle, as the younger statesman of the podcast, I will allow you to give me the first series to pick for this weekend, give you a small advantage.
Well, who won last year? I honestly don't remember.
I was trying to remember. I have no idea. I have a feeling you did, but that maybe I'm wrong.
I also have a feeling that I did.
Oh no. Well,
so
I remember based on bragging that, maybe a lot last year, but I don't remember if that bragging translated into W's.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I don't know how we counted the draft that we did with Philip.
I remember. I think we tied the end of the season, and then the postseason you did better or something. I think there's something to do with that.
That sounds right. Like we added on with Philip from the 10-12 podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
That draft thing. But speaking of Philip, we'll be on his podcast this week talking about the Big 12 non-conference series. Get that plug in.
Still, you can go first.
All right.
I will allow you this. So then I have an excuse for when I lose.
So I want to give you a difficult podcast or a difficult series to pick. I think I'm going to go ahead and give you the tough one off the bat, Long Beach State at Mississippi State.
See, this one's an easy pick for me. I'm glad you got this. You gave this
all right,
one to me.
That's fine.
Long Beach State is a great team. I like them a lot. Playing at the Dude is just a whole nother thing. I mean, Absolutely. This kind of reminds me a lot of Tulane and how Tulane gave Mississippi State a whole lot of trouble at the Dude last year, but Mississippi State won that series. Mississippi State doesn't really lose at home. Give me Mississippi State in this series. I'm going to put that one at 2 points. 2 points.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm confident, but I'm not like supremely confident about that.
Yeah, it's also hard because you don't know what I'm going to give you after this, like in future rounds. Like,
yeah, we'll see how this goes.
Yeah.
All right, I want you to pick. I think this is a tough one. It's UC Irvine, who's a team that's picked top two in the Big West, going on the road to start their season. At Louisiana, so Raging Cajuns. We got two Big West teams on the road starting up our pick'em.
Well, I have done a deep dive on UC Irvine, a deeper dive, statistical. I don't know.
Just making up words here to make you sound smart.
I have done a deep statistical analysis on UC Irvine.
You regressed their projections from a year ago, and I don't know enough of these words to make it sound good.
Neither. But yeah, I think so. Big words to say. I'm going to go with UC Irvine on the road.
All right.
And I will give that. What else is on here? I'm going to give that 2 points as well. In case there's a tougher one that you give me. I think that's the way to go.
All right.
My turn to give it to you. I'll go ahead and put your Vanderbilt doubt on the line. Pick the Oklahoma State at Vanderbilt series.
Yeah.
Big time Vanderbilt hater.
Yeah. Well, let the record show that I am a big time Vanderbilt hater. So much so that I'm going to pick them to win this series.
All right.
Yeah, this is a tough one though. I'm going to put this one down at 1 point. I think Oklahoma State could shock the world, and the young guys at Vanderbilt might not be able to rise to the occasion. And that's why I'm not super confident. That being said, it's in Nashville and give me the Commodores at home.
I think that's a fair pick. No longer a hater.
All right. Yeah. My hate status is short-lived. Let's give you a little bit of a wild card one here. I want you to pick Maryland at Baylor. So Big Ten
team. I was hoping you'd give me this.
Hope it. Wow.
Yeah.
Getting cocky.
I think Baylor is going to win this one at home, start the season. Baylor's a team that is pretty consistently, like at least for the past 5 years or so, been in the top four or five of the Big 12.
Which we do not have them in our preseason field of 64, and we have them outside of the top five in Big 12 right now.
Yeah, that's true.
And if you read Tom's article on Maryland, he has actually Maryland as potentially a favorite in the Big Ten.
That's fine. I'm gonna go. Don't Baylor.
Don't make me change your mind or anything, though.
You didn't. I'm gonna go Baylor 3 points.
All right, I'm feeling pretty good about that one. I feel like I just got you a little bit.
I think you did.
All right, give me something good.
All right. Let's see. Tough one to start the year. Pac-12 team traveling on the road down south a little bit. Washington at Cal Poly.
All right, we are going to cover the entire Big West by the end of this pick'em.
We sure are.
Yeah, Cal Poly is a team that was picked fourth in the Big West, but it's a nice little gap between them and Fullerton. I think I like Cal Poly at home. That trip down from Washington is a pretty substantial one, and I'm not convinced this year's Washington team is the one that's going to rejuvenate that Omaha run from a few years ago. Give me Cal Poly. And I'm gonna do 3 points here.
All right. Your turn.
Ooh, yeah. I'm gonna do let's see. I'm glad I didn't get this one, because this is one that I think you're gonna have to either put your money where my mouth is, or you're gonna have to make something up on your own. Let's do Wichita State at Louisiana Tech. A team that we have finished second in the American versus a team that we have winning Conference USA right now. We all know how I feel about Louisiana Tech, but how do you feel about Louisiana Tech?
Yeah. I want to see what else is on the board first before I pick the number of points. But I think I'm going to go with Louisiana Tech at home to start the year.
Yeah, so far we have five of six of our picks are the home team, which is not super surprising because you get that home field advantage. You had to pick the road team, UC Irvine, which doesn't feel like a bad one.
It doesn't. And especially I picked Baylor over Maryland, partially because I know Maryland is running that borderline, but like a northern team traveling to the south, like traveling to Texas, it's maybe a little bit tricky. Baylor's had decent, pretty good weather here in Texas.
Yeah.
For the last several months and been able to practice and stuff. I don't know how the weather in Maryland has been. So similar kind of thing with Wichita State coming from Kansas. So right. I'm going to go Louisiana Tech, but I'll go 4 points.
Oh, confident.
Not confident. It's just what I have left.
Don't you have
Sorry. 1 point left. Yes. Okay. 1 point left.
All right. 1 point for Louisiana. Four. All right, what do you have for me?
So you have a 4.
Yep, so basically I better hope this is an easy one.
Yeah. Let's go with Indiana at Clemson.
I knew you were going to do this to me. That was the one I was looking at the board of I feel really confident about a lot of these. But that one, I think Clemson, and honestly, if Clemson does not win this series, that does not bode well for them generally. We have them on the bubble right now heading to preseason. I think at this point, the apathy that Clemson fans are approaching their season with is kind of worrisome for a team that is one of the kind of premier teams that we have in college baseball. So if anything, for the sake of Clemson, I'm picking them, and I got to put 4 points on the line, so better hope that this pans out for me.
Yeah. All right, your turn.
Yeah, that was where I was gonna go next with this pick.
Wow, I'm glad I gave it to you.
Yeah, I feel like the rest of these don't feel incredibly difficult. So just so the listeners know, we have Wright State at Georgia Tech, and that's a tough series to pick because Wright State should be pretty solid. Fullerton at Stanford, Liberty at Florida, Rice at Texas, Southeast Missouri at Dallas Baptist. I know that you like Georgia Tech a lot, so I know that's just an easy pick for you in Georgia Tech, and I don't want to give you something that straightforward. Mm-hmm. I think something that could be a little bit trickier would be Liberty at Florida. So let's give you that one. Liberty's a pretty good team. I would be shocked if you picked them, but I could see an upset.
Yeah, I mean we had Liberty, I think, winning their conference in our field of 64.
They're in our top 50 right now too. Like they're a legit team.
I'm not hating on Liberty, but I think with the expectations that Florida has, coming off of a disappointing end to last year, losing at their home, the brand new ballpark, the brand new beautiful ballpark, I might add. I think pressure's on, so I'm gonna go Florida at home, and I only have 4 points left, but it's what I would have given anyway.
Yeah, I somehow feel like I came out of this on bottom already. That was that Indiana Clemson pick there at the end was a tough one for me. But let's see, my power ranking right here. I have Clemson for 4, Cal Poly for 3, Mississippi State for 2, Vanderbilt for 1. I regret that Mississippi State choice right now. I wish I hadn't put them higher up on the confidence interval, I think.
yeah, that's a good point. It's just got to use my weapons that I have available, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's a nice segue. So Eric Valenzuela, the head coach of Long Beach State, graciously agreed to join us on the podcast. And I have an interview coming up with him that will be playing right after this. And I'm really intrigued by that Mississippi State Long Beach matchup. I just picked Mississippi State to win that series, but like we just mentioned just a few moments ago, Long Beach State beat Mississippi State 2 years ago. They didn't play any non-conference games last year. Do you think Mississippi State fans, players have any memory of that series, or did winning a national championship erase that? And so this is not really a grudge match.
I think, yeah, it's kind of a balance point, right? Like this is their first series back after winning the national championship, which is the first Division I national championship in school history. So I think that is it's like a fan base that loves baseball, and they love to go watch baseball, and they have a good time out there in the outfield. So I think they'll be partying from that, but they also definitely really want to win. Like I think there are some fans who'll be like, "Hey guys, don't party too much. We gotta beat these teams. This team."
Yeah. And I think the only thing that could play to Long Beach's advantage right now, last I saw, the game on Friday got moved up a couple hours. So it's going to be played at 2 Central Time because of potential weather issues. Oh. I think if it does end up getting, it's played in the middle of the day like that, maybe the stadium isn't quite as full. Maybe they, because it's opening day, they still do a pretty good job of filling it out. But the weekend weather in Starkville right now, it's 61 and sunny on Saturday and then 67 on Sunday. So I have a feeling that the Dude is going to be packed. They sold like 13,000 season tickets. And I have a feeling that it's going to be a lot of butts and seats there this weekend.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, coming up next is the interview with head coach of Long Beach State, Eric Valenzuela. Let's welcome to the podcast Long Beach State head coach Eric Valenzuela. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. Love to be here.
So entering your third year now at Long Beach. So in some ways, though, this has to feel like kind of the first regular season your team has had with all the chaos due to COVID. So what's the energy like around the team? Is there a lot of excitement right now?
Yeah, you know, I was just speaking at a Long Beach Century Club here. And I was talking about, you know, this is our third year, but it almost feels like our first. I mean, year one, you know, we had 15 games and that was the end of our season, and it was going really well. I think we were ranked you know, 11th in the country, and then the season ends. And then year two, you know, not having a non-conference season, being one of the last, I think, two or three teams in the country to you know, actually get on the field to practice, and still having a pretty good season, you know. And so, yeah, I mean, this is a really, really exciting time for us as we get into year three and pumped to I really like our team a lot. And so, yeah, I mean, just pumped to get it going.
Yeah, definitely. And like you've mentioned, you've had some success already in your short time at Long Beach. And in part, that's been in terms of a few big series wins. Last year, you had that series win at Fullerton, and you really only had one series you dropped all season. Year before, against Mississippi State and Wake Forest. I mean, you're getting used to beating some big name teams, but then you were a little bit under the radar. Recently, the coaches picked Long Beach to finish first in the Big West. So it's safe to say you're not under the radar anymore. So how are you handling the expectations?
Well, I think they're good. I mean, I know our players, you know, they work really hard. And you know, I know these preseason rankings and preseason polls, you know, don't mean much. But, you know, I want our guys to feel good. I want them to feel like they are good, because they are, you know, and they play hard, they practice hard, you know, they work really hard. And so, you know, it's not going to, you know, we understand that we have to play good baseball. We understand that everybody that we play on our schedule is capable of beating us. And so we just have to, you know, keep our noses to the ground, work hard, and be prepared. And I feel like we're going to do that for sure. So as far as the expectations are concerned, we have big expectations from within. You know, we want to get to Omaha, we want to win a national championship, but we also understand, you know, that it's going to take this hard work, dedication. And then once we start playing games, it's about the play, and it's about playing better than your opponent on that given day. And so our guys won't lose sight of that for sure.
And we have you on because I want you to talk a little bit about this weekend. But before we get into that, can we talk a second just about the Big West in general? Because we had four Big West teams in our top 50. I mean, the Big West feels like it's back to kind of what we expect the Big West to be in terms of sending multiple teams, the NCAA tournament. What's it like looking around the league, seeing the competition around the Big West?
Well, I agree with you. I think, you know, from top to bottom, this is as good as it's been in a very long time. You know, when you're talking about the teams that you guys had in your top 50, but I mean, I see other teams, the Northridge, you know, I see, you know, Hawaii, I see, you know, all of these teams, you know, San Diego, UCSD, you know, UC Davis got a new coach. I mean, from top to bottom, it's a very, very strong conference, and that's what makes it great. And it is a multiple bid conference for sure, and this year even more than others. And it could be, as you're right, it can get as many as four teams in this year. I feel like we have the best prospect in the country with Brooks Lee at Cal Poly, and then we have obviously numerous, you know, preseason All-Americans within our conference as well. And so you know, that's why I'm excited about, you know, our weekend this weekend to go out and play an SEC opponent. And I know a lot of our teams in our conference have very tough schedules and are going to get to showcase that, you know, against other teams from other conferences for sure.
Yeah. And Eric, I know you've told me in the past that you guys just aren't afraid of anybody. And I mean, what better way to demonstrate that than playing the defending national champs on their home turf opening weekend? So you're heading to Starkville to play Mississippi State. I mean, it's been a while since you've had a road trip that's been quite like this. How have you prepared the team for this weekend?
You know, I mean, we can all see it, right? I mean, we see the opening weekend. We see that. But you know what? There hasn't really been much talk within our program and with our players, you know, much about it up until obviously the last couple of days when you're talking about scouting reports, is talking about, you know, their personnel, their players and all of that. But, you know, I feel like our guys have done a really good job of just staying, you know, staying grounded and just practicing, working hard and not really looking ahead. I know there's a lot of excitement about this weekend coming up, and there's always excitement, you know, opening weekend. Everybody thinks, you know, is ready to go to Omaha opening weekend. You're going to get everybody's best. You know, this just makes it a little bit more fun when you get to go to, you know, one of the best, you know, places to play in the country. And we're really excited for the challenge. I know our guys are excited. They're not scared one bit. They're going to be prepared and we'll be ready.
Is there anything you have to do in particular to prepare them to play in front of 10,000 plus fans that you're going to get in Starkville?
No, I mean, I think that's, you know, we talk about it. There's nothing like, I mean, we're so excited about that, and it's going to prepare us. And, you know, the one thing we do tell our players is that this is why you come to Long Beach State. I mean, you're going to play the best. You know, we're going to go on the road and we're going to play those type of teams. We're going to play in great environments that are going to prepare us for not only conference, but postseason and beyond that. And what a way to start. And, you know, it's not only Mississippi State. I mean, we're going to go on the road and play Nebraska, who won the Big Ten last year. We go on the road in our bye weekend of conference and go to Oregon State, it's another hostile environment. So, I mean, you're talking, and that's our road trips. I mean, you're talking three, you know, power programs that we're playing on the road that has a big fan base. And so, I mean, if we're not prepared once we get into conference, then I don't know what's gonna prepare us, you know, as far as the fan base and as far as, you know, obviously the competition.
And you mentioned that you use these non-conference series to prepare for conference play, but you referenced the fact that this is also a nice teaser for postseason potentially. Of course, you want to end up hosting all the way through the postseason, but when you're planning your preseason or your schedule in the preseason, to what extent are you thinking about that super regional you might have to play on the road or something like that when you schedule a series against a Nebraska or a Mississippi State?
Well, we're going to have to get through teams like that, obviously, once we get to postseason. And we're not looking ahead as to, you know, we have to take care of business this weekend and then the next weekend and the next weekend. But, you know, this is kind of a good measuring stick for us as to, you know, what we need to continue to improve on, you know, whether we win or lose, you know, when we get home from Starkville come Monday, you know, what improvements do we need to make? You know, what are things we did right? What are things that we can continue to improve on? Obviously, from a pitching side of things, you know, we're going to manage our pitching correctly, making sure that we take care of our arms and not, you know, they're not going to be on heavy pitch counts early. We're going to kind of guide them to get them prepared for conference play and beyond that. You know, from an offensive side of things, you know, mixing and matching, putting guys in, giving guys opportunities to see what they can do and getting guys opportunities in this environment, I think is huge, you know, and I think that's big for our development, big for our growth as a program and for each individual. And so that's what we're looking forward to the most about going out there is not only playing a quality team, but playing in an environment where, you know, it's going to be challenging. It's going to be fun. And this is the type of, these are the type of programs and these are the type of places that we're going to have to get through to reach our ultimate goal, which is to get to Omaha and win a national championship.
And you referenced it, coaching and managing a baseball team is hard enough, but early in the season when you're thinking about pitch counts and things like that, tell me a little bit about what your thought process is heading into this weekend in terms of your pitching staff. How confident are you right now in terms of knowing bullpen roles, weekend rotation, things like that? How much of it is just going to be a play by ear, seeing where guys are at in the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a position player standpoint, it's a little bit, I think we're in a little bit more difficult spot with more bodies that, you know, we feel like can perform at a super high level. And so we're just going to, you know, we're going to kind of mix and match, give guys opportunities from a position player standpoint. You know, from a pitching side of things, I mean, that's kind of, you know, we've kind of are preparing these guys the last 3 weeks and building their pitch count, you know, these last 3 weeks to get them to a point to where, you know, they can give us, you know, 5-6 innings this opening weekend, and we're going to have to make tough decisions. I mean, if it's a ball game that's really tight and our starter's doing well, I have to be able to trust, you know, our bullpen and give those guys opportunities, you know, and not be selfish for this win, but understand that, you know, we're taking care of our pitchers. We're going to make sure that they continue to develop and grow throughout the season, and we're not going to put, you know, any harm their way. And so my, that's the way you build your bullpen is you have to trust them and you have to give them those opportunities. And so, we're going to do it, you know, we've always done it that way. And you got to have confidence in your guys and give them that opportunity. And so that's how we're going to kind of play. And then as you know, as each week kind of goes by, then your pitchers get in, you know, that shape, that game shape. And once we get into conference play, then, you know, we're fully ready to go, and they have experience under the belt, and their stamina is good, endurance is good, and we have some roles that are established. And so that's all about the journey of this college baseball season that hopefully lasts a very long time.
And then looking up against Mississippi State's pitching staff, I mean, obviously they've had some great pitching performances in their run through Omaha, and a guy like Will Bednar will definitely be missed, but Mississippi State is not short on pitching. Landon Sims is going to be a guy that is going to be in the competition for SEC Pitcher of the Year. When you think about preparing your team to go up against some of these big arms, anything special that you've been doing this last week?
Well, they've been facing our arms, you know, and our arms are pretty good, you know, and so, you know, I have a lot of faith in what our pitchers are able to do, and not only power arms, but guys that can mix and guys that can pitch backwards when needed. So our guys are challenged, you know, every weekend, you know, when we're facing our players. Now, you know, Landon Sims is obviously a special pitcher. And again, our guys are just hungry for the challenge, you know, and we're going to stand in the box and be prepared and ready to go. And it's going to be a fun challenge for us. And we're definitely looking forward to it. I mean, you know, we face really good arms out west and in our conference, and we face all Americans and do that. And I know, you know, they're gonna have guys that are hard throwing and that compete their butts off and have experience in postseason and World Series. And again, that's just gonna make us better. And so again, we're looking forward to getting out there and competing.
All right, so come Monday, you guys just won series at Mississippi State. What had to go right for that to happen for you?
Well, we've had to play better baseball than them. And what I mean by that is, you know, I talked to our team about the three areas that we, you know, that are going to win you a baseball game, and that's throwing quality strikes, that's executing offensively, and that's playing great defense. And if we can accomplish, you know, two of those three things every game, we're going to be pretty successful. And so again, you know, it's about the play. And I tell them all the time, you know, it's, you know, in a lot of games that we play this year, we may be, you know, more talented than our opponents as far as on paper or bodies or results in the past or whatever, but that means absolutely nothing. It's about that day and playing the game that day and who's going to play better that day. And that's all that matters. So for us to win a series out in Starkville, we're going to have to play better than them, you know, throughout the weekend and fulfill those three areas. We're going to have to throw, you know, better quality strikes throughout the weekend than they do. We're going to have to play better defense than they do. And we're going to have to execute offensively better than they do. And if we can do those things, then we're going to be coming home happy on Monday.
Well, I think we're all looking forward to that series. Before I let you go, I want you to touch base a little bit on what's going on at home, because I know Andy Fee, the athletic director over at Long Beach State, has done a lot to invest in the baseball program recently. So can you give us any update on how things are going at home in terms of getting Blair Field up to even better status?
Yeah, it's super exciting. It's a great time. I mean, not only, you know, what the you know, the improvements that are going on at Bull Diamond at Blair Field, but just in you know, our athletic department, you know, in a whole. I mean, our basketball programs are going off. Men's won 10, you know, they've won 10 in a row. Women's basketball is, you know, right at the top of the Big West. Men's volleyball team's number one in the country. And then now the spring sports are starting. So we're really excited about where this department is, for sure. You know, as far as the improvements for Bull Diamond at Blair Field, I mean, Marilyn Bull is like she's our angel, you know, and she continues to help, you know, build this program and build this facility up with new lights. With her help, as well as President Jane Connolly, you know, her help getting this, you know, almost $3 million project for lighting, not only on the field, but throughout the facility, all around the stadium. It's been awesome. You know, we also are in the process of putting a new scoreboard, you know, a humongous scoreboard, the biggest video screen on the West Coast, up at the end of this season. And then, you know, renovation of our player development center down the left field line. And so it's just been a very, very fun time for us, and getting the improvements has really helped, not only for the fan experience, but obviously recruiting. It's really helped us. And you know, we got to continue to improve as a baseball program and win games and keep that excitement going.
Well, exciting to have another program that is investing money in baseball and recruiting at a high level. So thanks, Eric, for joining the podcast. Really appreciate it.
Well, thanks for having me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to the College Baseball Nation podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to podcasts and rate and review the podcast. It helps us out a lot. Check out all of our content on our website, collegebaseball.info, and be sure to follow us on social media at collegeballnat. Thanks for listening and have a great week.